Thanks, Josh, for leading us this morning. Yeah, it's good. We can thank Josh. Let's turn together in our Bibles this morning to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter. I just want to encourage you to bring your Bible with you to exchange. If you don't have your Bible this morning, that's okay. We have some extra Bibles that we can make sure you have one just to follow along. So we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. There's a parable, a story that Jesus once told about a man who finds a great treasure. It's a priceless treasure hidden in a field. And that treasure that man found wasn't money. It wasn't a big box of gold. It wasn't diamonds or priceless jewels. It wasn't a brand new PlayStation. It wasn't a PS5. Jesus says that man found a treasure that was the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says it this way: the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In that story, maybe you've heard that story that Jesus has told before. Jesus is comparing being saved, having salvation. He calls it being part of the kingdom of heaven as the greatest, most valuable treasure that someone could ever find. Finding and having something that's more valuable, more precious, that brings more joy into somebody's life than anything else you could ever have or find. Jesus wanted us to know about having salvation and how having salvation is the greatest treasure that we could ever find or ever have, better than anything else there is. Not that I'm against PlayStations or a PS5. But Jesus does want us to think about that treasure, that great priceless treasure that's better than anything you could receive on Christmas morning, anything you could ever get on your birthday, anything that all of the money in the world could ever buy you is the greatest gift, the treasure of having salvation in Christ. And the verses that we're going to study here in 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning, like we've already been seeing, are verses that help us to understand why that is. Why is salvation such a great treasure, like Jesus called it? Why is it a treasure that we should want to come and receive and have for ourselves? God in the Bible is really kind to us. If you read through so much of the Bible, it's so much of it is about helping us know about salvation and how we can have this treasure for ourselves, how you can have that ultimate real joy of being a Christian, having salvation in your life. God wants us to know how we can be saved from our sins, how we can be saved from God's judgment on our sins, and how we can have a place in his kingdom forever, how we can have that treasure of the kingdom of heaven. And to know why that is such a great treasure, to know why salvation is so valuable. And this morning we get the chance to look here at 1 Peter chapter 2, which is one of those parts of the Bible that's here to help us do that, to help us think about the treasure of salvation, to help us think about what salvation means for you if you're a Christian, what it brings into your life, how it can bring joy into your life. Why is salvation such a treasure? That's what these verses will help us understand. We also, when we will read these verses this morning, find a warning. These verses are a reminder about the treasure of salvation, but they're also a warning to everyone who is ignoring the gift of salvation that's been offered to you. They're a warning to someone who says, I don't need what Jesus is offering. I don't need salvation. These verses warn us to have our eyes open and to understand the great treasure of being saved. The big idea this morning is that I need to know the priceless treasure of having salvation in Jesus Christ. I need to know the priceless treasure of having salvation in Jesus Christ. God wants us to know this treasure of salvation in Jesus and the joy that it can bring into your life. And to see this here, we're going to look at two big groups. Really, it's the only two groups of people that the Bible says there are. People who are with salvation and people who are without salvation. People who have this treasure and people who are missing out on this treasure. We'll compare, we'll do kind of a contrast of those two groups as we read from these verses. But first, let's just read together, starting in 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 4. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these truths that are here. Even though they might not seem so obvious when we first read those verses, I pray that you would help us to understand what you want us to know from your word here in these verses today. We ask that in Christ's name, amen. Having salvation, that means to be saved, is the greatest treasure that we can have. And we can understand that when we look at these verses, because it's going to tell us about two groups. It compares two different groups of people, really the only groups of people that there are in the world, those people who have salvation in Christ and those who are ignoring, rejecting, missing out on that treasure. And so our first point as we look at these verses is to talk about two peoples. That's point number one, two peoples. That just means two groups of people, kind of a funny way to say it, but we'll say two peoples. There's two groups of people that Peter talks about when we read through those verses. We hear about people who have salvation and people who do not. All through verse 4 through verse 10, all the way through, we read, especially there when we look at those verses, about people who have salvation. Maybe you could kind of catch that as we read. We hear about both of those groups of people, but especially about people who have salvation. And when we read there, we find out what makes it so great to be somebody who is a Christian, who has salvation. We read there that people who are saved have great gifts, great privileges, great joys in our life now if we know Christ. Let's look at what's there for people who have salvation. What do you have if you are saved? As we go through these verses. Verses 4 and 5 tell us that if you have salvation, you have a right relationship with Jesus. You have a right relationship with Jesus. Verse 4 says, you've come to him. That's talking about coming to Jesus for salvation. as to, it says, a living stone. That's kind of a weird phrase that I bet you have not said today. You probably have never said that in your life. A living stone. It's calling Jesus like a living stone right there. Really, those verses are just helping us think about you having a relationship with Jesus who is like a stone who is alive. When we think of a stone, we think of something that's strong, that's firm. You could think of a giant rock that you might see when you're camping with your family or when you're out in nature, when you're on a hike. That rock is enormous, and because it's so big, it's steady, it's strong. There's nothing that you could do to move or change that rock. And the Bible says if you're a Christian, you've come to Jesus who's like a rock, who is firm, who you can trust in and build your life on, who you can count on to never change, but to be strong in your life. It also says that Jesus is a living stone. He's alive and he's active. He's involved in your life now if you're a Christian. He's not just a cold, distant, separated God. He's alive and part of your life. I love that song that Josh led us in this morning. It said that Jesus is strong and he is kind. Jesus is strong and kind. He's a living stone. And if you're a Christian, you've come to Jesus to build your life on him, to have him as the Lord of your life. Christians have a new relationship with Jesus. Verses 4 and 5 are telling us. Verse 5 also says, if you are saved, you yourself become a spiritual house, living stones, part of God's own house that he's building. That makes us think of the fact that if you're a Christian, you become part of his church. You're not just alone as a Christian. You get to be part of his family that he's doing his great work in this world through. You get to be part of God's building that he's putting together, part of his church. We also see that if you're a Christian, down in verse 9, if you look, it tells us Christians are also a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who belong to God. Those are amazing words if you just spend a little time thinking about what that means, to have that kind of relationship with God. Amazing words that tell us what Christians have. Christians are God's people. They're his chosen people. Christians are also part of a royal priesthood. That just makes us think of the people in the Old Testament from before this time. The priests were people who had a special relationship, a special kind of access to God. And this is telling us all Christians now have that special relationship, that special access to God, like the priests in the Old Testament. Christians are also, it says, a holy nation. That means you're set apart. You know what holy means? It means to be set apart. Christians are set apart from the old way of sin that brings God's judgment. And now we get to be God's own people who live for him, set apart from our old sin to live in a new way of righteousness and good. Christians, it finally says, are people for God's own possession. That makes us think about how God loves us, how God has paid a great price, sending his own son to have you as his family, to have you as one of his people. You are God's own possession if you are a Christian. There's no greater privilege or treasure than that. This is what you now are if you're a Christian, what describes people who have salvation. Why is it such a treasure to be a Christian? I know that there's a lot there as we read verses 4 and 5 and then verse 9 there. Why is it such a treasure? I mean, if we just spend a few minutes thinking about it, it means that you have Jesus as Lord of your life, a right relationship with him. You're now part of his house, his church. You're part of his chosen people. You're set apart from sin to live for him. You belong to his people in this world. And all of that brings joy that people who aren't part of his family can't know. Peter is saying this is what a Christian has, part of his new people who belong to God. Verse 9 kind of gives us the big summary of that. It says, Christians proclaim the excellencies of him. That means we can tell other people how great our God is, how excellent God is. Why? Because it says he has called you out of darkness, verse 9, into his marvelous light. If you're a Christian, you know that God has rescued you. He saved you from the most terrible, horrible place of darkness, scary darkness. He saved you from sin and evil. And he's brought you into light. He's made you to have this new relationship with him, a new spiritual life filled with good. He's brought you to his marvelous light. This is the one group of people that Peter really wants us to think about, people who have salvation. But it should also make us think about the other group of people. There's also a second group, the only other group there is. It's people who are missing out on all of these things that Peter talks about. That second group is people who don't have this right relationship with Jesus. People who are still in darkness, lost in sin, not part of God's people. An awful, horrible place to live as a slave to your sin. These people are missing out on all of these great gifts. They're missing out on the treasure of salvation. They're missing out on getting to be part of God's own people, serving him and knowing him. Missing out on having this relationship with Jesus. There are two peoples that Peter wants us to think about. Our second point we should also see then is two futures. Two futures for these two different peoples in our verses. And this is so important for us to understand. If you look at verse 6, he talks again about the first group, that's the group of people who have salvation in Jesus. And he talks about them building their life on this rock, on this cornerstone, building their life on Jesus, he's saying. And then look at the end of verse 6. He says these very important words at the end of verse 6. It says, he, or whoever, believes in him, in Jesus, will not be disappointed. Some Bibles say that it means you will not be put to shame. Maybe yours says that. That means if you're part of this group of people who have salvation, a person who's come to Jesus, who believes in him, your future one day is no disappointment, no shame, no sadness, no regret in the future for you as a Christian. I'm sure you could think of times when you've been majorly disappointed. You were expecting like a big family trip. You've been dreaming about it all week, and then plans fall through and there's just disappointment. Or maybe you saved up for a really long time for that one thing that you've really wanted to buy, and you've just imagined what it would be like to have that item. You ordered it and it comes, and finally you open it, it's yours, and it's kind of lame. It brings disappointment. Or maybe you were looking forward to winning a game, or you worked so hard to do well with your team or in some activity, and after all that work, you come in last place. There's disappointment. We know all about disappointment. Everyone's experienced it. But God's word teaches us here that if you have salvation, you will never be disappointed for putting your trust in Jesus. You will never be put to shame. You'll never have regrets. Especially in the future, we only look forward to joy and peace and safety and rest forever and ever with Jesus. We can count on Jesus, this rock, to follow through on all his promises. You remember maybe 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says that if you're a Christian, you have an inheritance in heaven stored up for you. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're a Christian, you have that future. You have unending joy with God that will last forever and ever. You will not be disappointed. No disappointment, no shame, no regrets for God's people. But then Peter also warns us about the other group of people again. He makes us think about that other group who does not come to Christ for salvation. Peter warns us about this group, and it's a very sad warning. It says in verse 7, "This precious value is for you who believe, but for unbelievers. A stone which the builders rejected." That's talking about rejecting Jesus. "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed." Peter's warning us about a second group, that only other group of people that there is. And he tells us at the end of verse 8 that their future is not good if you don't have Christ. It's a very, very sad ending. For those without Christ, there's a future of consequences for your sin. Jesus said it in John 3:36, "Whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains on them." This is a sad future for this other group of people without salvation. It's a future none of us want, under God's judgment for our sin. It all makes us think about why salvation is such a treasure. Because when we think about our future, if we have Christ, if we have Christ, if we are saved, if we have salvation, it means we're rescued from that future that we don't want, and we're given a future we don't deserve. We're rescued from God's judgment, and we're given a place in the kingdom of heaven, joy that lasts forever and ever one day with Christ. Peter wants us to be thinking about this treasure, to be warned about what you do with this treasure. There are two peoples. There are two futures for those people. But last, we should see and understand from our verses, number 3, two responses to Jesus. All of this leads us to think about the only two responses someone can have to Jesus. This is the key to what having salvation is all about. How you respond to Jesus. If you look at verse 4, it says that some people come to him. They come to Jesus. It also says that some people have rejected Jesus. Again, in verse 7, it says there are some people who will believe in Jesus, but there was going to be some people who will not believe. Some people will reject the word. Verse 10 again says there's some people who have not received mercy, and there's some people who have received mercy. Again, it just reminds us, it explains to us, there's only two responses that someone can have to Jesus. It's going on rejecting him or coming to him. It's obeying God's word by coming to him, running to him, and trusting and believing in him. Or it's disobeying God's word. It's not trusting in him. It's rejecting the gift that's available in Christ. There are only those two responses from those two groups of people. These are some tricky verses. There's some Old Testament that's in there. It's kind of complicated. It might be confusing to think about what a living stone is. I know that. But I think here's what we need to take away from these verses. What is your response to Jesus? You and me have the opportunity to be saved. Everyone in this room can either be part of this group who has salvation or this group who does not. We can be rescued from the darkness and brought into God's marvelous light. We can become part of God's people. We can receive this treasure that Peter wants us to know about. We can have a future that will never disappoint us, never put us to shame. You can have this treasure of salvation, or you can reject it. What do we do with what Christ has done for us? It's not for you to come and try to earn that salvation. It's not for you to try to clean up your life and get rid of enough bad habits and then God will be pleased with you enough to make you a Christian. Now, God's word here is telling us salvation is through coming to Christ. It's through Christ, coming to him and believing in him, responding to his mercy that's available to you. And the right response for every sinner is to stop rejecting Jesus. Maybe you know this morning you are rejecting Jesus. You're not listening to what God's word is telling you for your life. You're going on in love with your sin. God wants us to know that there's a precious treasure for all of us that's available if we come and believe in Jesus and build our life on him. John 3 says, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. So a few important questions for us to end on when we think about what's here. What is your response to Jesus? Are you rejecting him, or have you come and received his mercy and been saved? Which of the only two groups of people there are you a part of? Do you have salvation, part of God's people? Do you have the joy that can be part of your life if you've come and believed in Christ? Are you trusting in Jesus for a future that will never, ever, ever disappoint you? The greatest treasure there is to have this salvation in Jesus. And you know, I think sometimes we know that people know that treasure is there, but they pass right on by. They don't go and sell all they have to own that treasure, to have it for themselves like Jesus talks about it. The answer for us is to come and find that treasure for ourselves, to come and receive Christ and to find the future that he has for us that lasts forever and ever in joy. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for these verses that remind us of the only two groups of people there are, those who foolishly reject Jesus and those who come to your son, Jesus, and find his forgiveness from their sins, find everlasting life, and find joy being part of your family. Lord, we just ask that everyone in this room would come know this treasure of salvation, that each student here, that their life would be filled with the joy of being in Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. Have a great morning.